Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 260, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive. Did that turn into a crow there at the end?
I mean, it's Halloween. It's spooky time, baby. Yeah, it's Howard Dean
it's crow season all the time around here, man. The crows. But I think, you know, crows can remember a face, and I think they've decided I'm a good egg.
Yeah,
because they hang around my backyard, or they're just like, this guy's soft. He's scared of us. We can run shit. Anyways, this is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And it's Friday, October 28th, 2022, which of course means
it can only be one day. National Frankenstein Friday.
Frankenstein Friday.
Yep, that's what it's called. And I'm sure, I mean, that's also National Chocolate Day. Obviously, shout out that. Internal medicine, first responders, equally important, pharmacy buyers and breadsticks. But there's something about Frankenstein Friday that just feels, I like that. I like the vibe of Frankenstein Friday.
To quote you on our brilliant basketball show, Miles and Jack, I'm Matt Boosties. What is it about Frankenstein and Friday,
What is it
Miles?
About Frankenstein Friday? I don't know what it is exactly, but I don't know. I think it's just, they say, hey, celebrate it. Take in
celebrate.
Some Frankie content or read both editions of the book.
Uh-huh. Heading into the weekend that a lot of people dress up like it's the full freaky Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Celebrate.
It's appropriate. Yeah. Anyways, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You keep saying you've got soda for me, but not the kind you'd expect, I confess. PepsiCo's been a messin' where they shouldn't have been a messin'.
Ooh.
And now I gotta get something off my chest. These thighs are made for washing. Don't mind their lighter hue. Every day I wash these thighs with soap that's made of Mountain Dew. That is not true. Okay, first of all, Blake Rogers, but thank you for the AKA. I just washed it with straight Mountain Dew. Just straight up.
Straight up.
Straight up.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Then they drew my face, ding, 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 based off of my genome. Now I'm 6'8", blue hair and green eyes. Ooh, they made my face, ooh, off of some phenotypes. This shit looks racist as fuck. Okay, shout out to Fighter the Nightman, who was very clear to say it's I'm a Believer, but the Smash Mouth version.
Yeah.
So I would respect that. I try to get my little somebody, you know, get that little, that twang in there.
I was wondering why that was your vocal warm up today. Just kept saying
somebody, body.
Yeah. Anyways, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest comedy writers doing it anywhere. The creator and writer behind Birds Rights activist on Twitter. writes for the amazing YouTube show Some More News with Cody Johnston. She studied psychology and evolutionary biology at a school in Boston.
Okay. Shout out to
Don't
that
worry
area.
About it. Uses her background to host the brilliant podcast Creature Feature, where you learn all the weirdest shit you didn't know you wanted to know about various creatures, including the weirdest and grossest creature of all mankind. Please welcome, coming all the way from Italy, the brilliant and talented Katie Golden!
It's-a me, Katie.
See?
Okay, wow. Just had to bring that back.
I should have voiced Mario. It should have been me.
Thank you. That's what I've been saying. How is Italy?
It's not too late.
Katie. And I did check with you before. I was like, so you admit you're in Italy, right?
Yeah.
You admit it.
Okay. I admit it. Yeah. It's pretty Italy.
It's pretty Italy.
it's pretty Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got a little, you know, chef's kiss of fascism going on here, which is, you know, not great. Mm. But I actually did a whole thing on this on the Even More News podcast. But essentially, the Italian government is set up to trip on its own dick like constantly. And that does make it harder for fascists to like do a takeover. So that's.
Wow.
A silver lining to the situation.
Shout out Dick Trips.
Yeah.
Fighting fascism.
Once again, shout out Dick Trips. So ineffectual governance is going to help
save
make
the day.
Your version of fascism, which is already, it's nearing American levels of fascism.
Right.
But it's kind of avowed and officially fascism. And it's still... it's still missing some of those sweet, sweet ingredients that we have going on over here. So
yeah, I mean, it's funny because it is like Meloni's party is a rebrand of the neo-fascist movement that lingered after Mussolini. And her platform is a good deal less fascist than a lot of Republicans in the U.S. That's not to say she's good. She's like she praised Mussolini when she was like a teenager. She was like, yeah, he's a good politician and everything he did for Italy. So, you know, she's not like I think she's trying to play nice right now because she knows if she pulls out the fascism card too fast right now, like Europe is going to be mad at her.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's still early days. I was just reminiscing about the days when we were shocked that Trump admitted he fired Comey over the Russia investigation. Like it was the very early days, and we were like, "Oh my God, we got him, folks!"
Send in the choppers.
That should wrap it up.
Yeah, it's funny that we're dick tripping our way into fascism because the government is so ineffective. People are like, "Man, fascism looks way cooler than this bullshit."
Well, I think our gravitational center is fascism.
Right.
You know, that's where we've always wanted to be.
I think even worse, it's slavery. So, you know, especially now is like, you know, on the ballot in some states, people are like, so forced labor for prisoners? Okay. No? All right. Never mind. Slaves in 2022 and beyond.
I feel like we're going to, like, there's going to be an actual push to bring back child labor soon. I feel it.
It's going to be something about how kids these days.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And like they need, you know what? They need to figure out how to, they don't know how to use a circular saw.
Yeah.
Step right up.
It's They're like, already doing their on their work in the metaverse. So why not just move it to the universe?
I see them building stuff in Fortnite all the time in Minecraft.
I mean, I see conservative memes where they're like, back in the day when you were 14, you went to war for your country. Now when you're 14, you choose your pronouns. It's like, yeah, let's bring back the days when we killed children and turned them into child soldiers. Yes. Like back in the day, they got black lung working in the coal mine and died by the time they were 12 years old. Like today, they go to school and get hugs from mommy.
Wow. We're all wistful for the days of World War One. Right,
yeah.
They just sent children into a literal meat grinder.
I remember when I was going to work at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, and we were just a bunch of kids and people making a hard-earned living. I missed my shift one day. I don't know what happened to all of them, but.
These days, the kids are all on the TikTok, and back in the day, it was shell shock.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because we didn't have a term for PTSD.
Okay.
That young man is shell shocked.
All right, Katie, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're talking about the big issue of the day of the millennium is that we're rapidly hurtling towards irrevocably self-fucking the entire world through climate change.
Yeah.
Oops.
Then we're going to move on to what we're using to distract ourselves from that, which is like hand-to-hand combat sports. There's a new fed in pro slap fighting leagues. So we'll talk about that, which sounds much less dangerous than it actually is.
Till you see a bout and you're like, that person has like total hearing loss in that ear.
Yeah. And one person died.
Oh, shit. Really?
Last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Overseas, but. And then maybe we'll get into some Halloween costumes.
I think we should.
Sexy nurse Halloween costume, Jeffrey Dahmer Halloween costume, all the Halloween costumes you should not be this year. The official
still got time.
Bad idea.
How not to ween it up.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
There you go.
What's Halloween like over in Italy?
It's pretty boring. No, it's not the same vibe, sadly. Yeah, I mean, like, they'll put some pumpkins out. It's mostly, I've learned that the way that people just go hog wild for Halloween is a pretty American thing. And I do miss that a lot about America. Love the universal healthcare here. Do miss the Halloween. Because, kids don't go trick-or-treating this year. And I think that is a real shame. I think that going around and hounding people for candy as a kid is such a, you know. Yeah, it's such a unique experience to shake people down for candy while dressed as, you know, I don't know, a spooky Garfield.
Yeah.
So it's
the number
it's
one
thing.
Costume this year. So you
spooky
heard
Garfield.
That America's number one costume this year is spooky Garfield.
as the kids call him, Spoogar.
What is something, Katie, from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, yeah. So I did a Google search recently of can most people imagine smells? Because I was actually on my podcast talking about like smell and stuff, and like me and Jason Pargin talking about like how I can't imagine smells and he cannot. And now I'm like, wait, how many people can imagine a smell and how many people can't, and what's going on? Do you guys can you guys imagine smells?
I describe the process. Like I can almost like have a phantom sense of it. I'm like, oh, and I'm right now I'm smelling this or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like can you like have like a phantom scent of cinnamon? I mean, like, you know, like when you imagine like something, you're not literally seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're imagining a smell, you're not literally smelling it. But can you kind of bring that smell to mind? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
Yeah. I mean, well, Jason Pargin is a cloud of nanobots. Are we admitting that on this? Or actually, I think
did he reveal that on yours?
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. All right,
sorry.
We'll cut that out.
Justin, cut this out.
But yeah, I think I can. But it's actually harder than I expected when you said that. I'm like,
right.
Yeah. So like, I know what a smoky smell is, right?
And it's Yeah. The way I think, the way I'm imagining it is like, I can almost, there are certain smells that hit different parts of my sinuses differently.
Mm.
So if I'm like trying to evoke something, I'm like almost physically bringing more awareness to that part of my sinuses or something to like kind of, because I feel like that's where a certain scent might resonate more. That's, I'm just trying to give you a glimpse into how I do this.
Yeah, no,
I
do, that's have, really interesting.
I have really strong sense memories tied to smell. Like just
yeah, me
I think too. I think that's what it is. Is I can recall smells. I can like get a specific version of a smell and bring that to mind. I can't, if you gave me like words and be like, it's a lilac mixed with coconutty, oh, right. Like I would not be able to put those things together.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I have an extremely strong sense of smell. So like if someone's
humble brag.
Eating like tuna a mile away, I start gagging.
Hey,
you know,
why it's just, are you bringing up my tuna now? Or maybe if they're eating it in another part of the earth, I can even smell right now during a Zoom call.
Yeah.
I can smell through Zoom.
Miles is a foot-long tuna sub right now as we speak.
Hey, I didn't have breakfast, man.
Those are great sounds for a podcast, tuna subs on a podcast. Very good. Yeah. No, I mean, so I feel like it may, because I can very vividly think of smells, and sometimes it's like not a great thing, because if it's a bad smell, then it's like, then it's there, and that's bad.
Yeah. I can do it all. I feel like I could recall like a terrible porta potty I'd been in.
Yeah.
I could recall like the smell of like the ups, like going up the stairs of my grandmother's house in Japan. Like, I feel like there are a few things that I could really like transport myself in, because whenever I smell certain things like cedar wood or something, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Where the fuck am I?
One time someone threw up next to a Wetzel's pretzel at a mall, and I remember that smell really vividly.
Did it ruin the smell of Wetzel's pretzels? Because that is probably in my top 10 smells.
Like, it did for a little bit, but not forever.
Yeah.
Salty, buttery.
Can you do a difference between a Wetzel's and an Auntie Anne's?
I think
Auntie Anne's is... Actually, I don't think I can.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to see there's levels to it, you know? Like, could you do Mrs. Fields?
Less vomity, maybe?
Yeah. Could you do Mrs. I have one from the mall, which is Mrs. Fields next to Bath and Body Works.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah. That's a journey right there.
That's an assault. Nice. It's a sugar cookie into warm vanilla sugar lotion.
Mm-hmm.
Bath and Body Works. So, yeah.
I love how aggressive Lush is with their scents. They don't mess around. They're like, okay, we're going to immediately punch you in the face. And if you don't like it, you can get the fuck out of our store.
What is something you think is overrated, Katie?
Kanye, am I right? Am I right, you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Why? What happened?
I'm finally living somewhere where I don't have to drive a car. And it's really amazing. I've always kind of hated driving, and I imagined like, oh, if I could live somewhere where I don't have to drive, that would be really nice. But just the amount of quality of life improvement and being able to walk places is kind of mind blowing. And I feel like it's kind of trendy now to hate cars, but I'm fully for that trend of hating on cars, because I've grown to like become, I mean, you know, I understand that people still have to drive, and like, you know, it's based on luck whether you can live somewhere where you don't have to use a car, but it's just like being able to walk to the grocery store is incredible. It's like I just want a single orange and I can make that happen.
Right. Mm. Without being like, all right, let me gather my belongings and myself as I embark on a journey of like a mile or two to get one orange. Yeah. I don't know. I think I definitely am learning to hate cars. Like, I like cars. Like, I like looking at cars. I like the design of cars. But the more I drive my car, the more I'm like, I wish I didn't have to do this. I wish I could bike. Like, I wish there was more bike infrastructure. I wish there was more walking infrastructure. I wish there was better public transit. I mean, this is speaking to LA specifically. But when you start, like, when I started riding my bike more, I definitely got that feeling of like, man, this feels so much better. To be able to just get somewhere somewhat close by, but also not have the hassle of firing up my car.
Yeah.
I'm curious as it relates to climate change, since the fear of around cities is really being dialed up as it gets more and more important that everybody start living in like more closer quarters so that we don't all have to drive cars everywhere we're going. Like, I wonder if there's any, like, I guess we'll find this out in the museum they make after humanity is wiped out and the next people come, but.
The like, little cockroach museums that they make.
Yeah, like, the little cockroach museums. will they be like, the oil industry was behind the whole thing, making cities seem scary
even
to
admitted.
People in the country.
Look at these dumb jerks. They didn't know they had it so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine a cockroach sounds like.
I like that, yeah.
Thank you.
Honestly, I would take that as even Mario's voice, too. That feels
like anything but, what is this place?
Yeah.
It's me, Mario, and the Mushroom Kingdom, well, it's in a bit of trouble.
What is something you think is underrated?
I mean, I actually, like, I just somewhat recently finished the Earthsea books, which I had not read as a kid. I just read them as an adult by Ursula Le Guin. And I feel like I'm so shocked that I had never really heard of her until I was an adult, because she's amazing. And I would have loved these books when I was a kid. And I feel like it's also funny because, you know, like, I feel like people's experiences with Harry Potter are getting somewhat tainted by J.K. Rowling just turning into like a hate monster these days. But like, if you feel that way, I would definitely read the Earthsea books, because first of all, I actually think they are, you know, it's a bigger world. Like, it builds such a larger world in terms of like this feeling of this great fantasies, and it has the same themes, like wizards. There's like a wizard school. There's a lot of things I think that J.K. Rowling actually borrowed from these books, which normally is fine. Like, when you borrow themes or ideas from other books, that's how you write books. Like, that's how literature works. But the thing that kind of annoys me is I think that J.K. Rowling was like trying to basically say her books are better than fantasy. Like, oh, mine aren't fantasy, they're magical realism. Like, fantasy is just like fairies and unicorns, and my books are more, you know, they're more grounded than that. And it's like, dude, come on, you have like wizards and unicorns in your book. Why are you? And also just to kind of pretend like she's special or different from fantasy. It's like, no, you like pulled a lot of these themes from pre-existing fantasy books, which is fine. These authors also pulled things from even older books. Like, that's how it works. But to not acknowledge that is kind of crappy.
Ooh, this Earthsea thing sounds cool, though. Like, I was just reading the Wikipedia, and it's like the whole world is comprised of just like tiny islands and ocean. Feels like a lot like what ancient Greece was like, right? Where it was mainly like, you know, the mainland and then a bunch of little island nations all like going to war with each other and stuff. I've always been fascinated with that and been like, somebody should write this book that it turns out already exists. So,
did it before you were born, loser?
Yeah, turns out.
Got any more brain busters?
68, 70, and 72. That's dope, though.
Yeah, no, it's a really good series. For adults as well. I enjoyed it a lot, and I just finished it up a couple months ago.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about how we all might be living on a series of tiny islands in the not-too-distant future. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out What's New on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
Yep.
And it seems like every once in a while, the mainstream media will allow the world to check in with the reality of climate change and be like, oh, shit, we didn't do the thing.
Is it bad?
We said we were going to do. So, yeah, the latest assessment from scientists working with the UN has revealed bad news.
Yeah. Real bad news. They basically concluded that the 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold is now in serious peril. Quote, this analysis finds that new efforts to cut carbon would see global emissions fall by less than 1% by 2030. Mm-hmm. When, according to scientists, reductions of 45% are needed to keep 1.5 degrees Celsius in play. Mm-hmm. And they say basically on the track we're on, we're looking at around 2.8 degrees Celsius by the end of this century.
Two is catastrophic. Two is it's over for us. Like it's any version of reality that resembles like what we live in right now is gone. Just war and water wars and, you know, people being displaced constantly. And nightmare.
Before the doom and gloom, just remember, COP27 is coming up in Egypt, the climate summit, where I'm sure they'll just pat each other on the back for not making the Jesus, I don't know what's going to happen at COP27,
to be honest. ACAB includes COP27.
Yeah, ACAB does include COP27 for sure. I mean, but it's really, really, I mean, you know, Inger Andersen, who's the executive director of the, I think, UN Environmental Policy Institute, just one of these, the scientific arms, said, quote, we had our chance to make incremental changes, but that time is over. Only a root and branch transformation of our economies and societies can save us from the accelerating climate disaster. We've got to take climate change with us wherever we go, into the classrooms, into the boardrooms, into the voting booth, over the dinner table. We cannot let go. Climax change. Anyway, we cannot let go of climate change. And I think, you know, it's that sounds about right. You know, it's like we could have done it incrementally fucking 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
there are natural disasters happening now that were predicted like over 30 years ago. And you'll read these papers. It's like, this is what will happen if we do nothing. But surely we'll do something, right?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, wait, was that today when we were supposed to do something about it?
Right.
And then so like and there are things that I think are like storms or earthquakes or things that people don't immediately connect to climate change. They're like, well, this is a hurricane. Why would this have anything to do with climate change? But like, no, this has to, you know, when you have global warming, it's not just about the temperatures in the world increasing. You mess with a very intricately interconnected climate system, which results in things like huge hurricanes that dump way more water on you than they would have before the change in climate. And so, yeah, we're already in it, and yet people are still denying it. So it gets a little depressing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one bright spot, like that anyone that we can point to, which isn't really saying much, is like that they even talk about is, you know, like, okay, well, electric vehicle sales are exploding. That's one part of it, but there are whole industries that have to change. And like the other thing was that the Russian invasion of Ukraine like disrupted traditional energy markets that other places were like, huh, maybe renewables as a last resort.
Yeah. It also feels like we're getting inured to the news, and like the Hurricane Ian caused more deaths in Florida than any hurricane in almost 90 years. Florida, which is a place with lots of hurricanes. I still remember like Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Hugo, like those hurricanes that were like nationally iconic events. And now it's we just kind of brush past it. Like I had to Google, what was the hurricane that just happened that caused the most deaths in Florida history almost 90 years ago? Because it just like didn't. I think there's something that's happening where people are like, well, this is impractical for my day-to-day life to let this reality in. And so we're just going to keep it moving.
It's so, yeah, it's all just so very bleak. And you can't blame human nature for not wanting to look this problem in the eye, because the idea that the planet is going to fucking kill you because you mistreated it just seems like a fucked up movie plot. Right. And, but this
it's
is
like that, it's that, that movie, the plantaining, the happening. With the plants, the angry plants.
The leaves got mad.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that would be great if the leaves got mad and were able to do something to stop it. Like it's truly like the situation almost has anybody done a Democratic poll of like just if people are given the like reality of the situation, I can't imagine it's not overwhelmingly popular for everybody involved to be like, we need to do something, we're willing to make changes, but it's we're being held hostage by like this status quo and this like global economic forces that are just it's such a strange and unprecedented situation where it's just like, yeah, there's like, I mean, I guess like World War One and World War Two are similar, and it's like everyone's like, yeah, we don't want this to happen, and then they just like keep moving towards it until it happens.
Right.
Like,
yeah. No more atom bombs, though.
Right, right.
Unless.
Okay, after this one.
All right, let's try a tactical nuke, though, real quick.
Right. It is similar to nukes in that way, because, like, if you pull the app, like, I don't feel a lot of doomerism about the average person. Like, I really do think, like, the average human being would be willing to make sacrifices in order to make climate change better. And in the same way that the average person, if you're like, hey, do you want there to be nuclear war? You'd be like, well, hell no, no. I would never want that to happen. But then it's like, well, it's not up to us. The people in power are the ones who get to decide whether or not nukes are used. And it's a similar thing with climate change. It's like, well, yeah, we don't, you know, these like we sometimes sort of have democracies, but kind of not. And like so much, it does feel very maddening where it's like, yeah, it really reveals how difficult it is for the populace, the people to have the power to do anything that would upset the status quo when it comes to, you know, the economic reality of like the people at the top breaking in huge amounts of profits. Like, they're not going to want to shut that off unless right. they were somehow forced to.
Like, to your point, the average person is willing to make sacrifices to save the planet. The average fossil fuel executive is fucking not.
Right, so, exactly.
And they're also spending billions of dollars, like, as an industry to, you know, market to, you know, just mind fuck the world into not being able to do anything about this.
Yeah. And you can kind of see, like, with the reaction of, like, the Just Stop Oil, like, climate activists or other climate activists in general. Yeah. There is a real interesting thing where, like, what they're saying is real. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're like, right. we're fucked. Capitalism is absolutely tied to our inability to fucking pump the brakes on this system we have and figure like, hey, do we even want a fucking Earth to even to yeah. fuck to begin with? I know you guys love fucking the Earth, but you can fuck it to death and it will be over. And you see, like, in the comments, immediately, I think people pivot to stuff like, oh, well, that super glue isn't going to actually stick to that table based on, like, the sealant used on that desk. Or that lady has blue hair and that uses fossil fuels, so she doesn't really know what she's talking about. And we yeah. completely are skirting past the bigger issue, which is yep. this is going to lead to fucking Earth death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you were being held hostage in, like, a tiny cell and your captor is, like, slowly turning up the heat. And you're like, I'm going to die. Like, he's like turning up the heat. I will die in a matter of days. Like, right. and he's live streaming you. And you're like, could someone please help? I'm being held by a mad, you know,
also,
madman.
This guy's in here like, with, bro, you'll die too. You're going
right,
to die
right.
too, just so you
and
know.
And then, like, nobody's paying attention when you're calmly explaining it. Like, okay, I'm in this situation and, like, nobody's watching. Nobody cares. And you're like, then you start screaming for help. Barely anyone paying attention. And then you start to do crazy stunts to try to get anyone to pay attention to you. And they're like, that's kind of in poor taste. Like, really? Right.
That's you not know? Really. People aren't going to connect to that point by yeah. doing it like that. It's like, well, I'm sorry. Do you know what the point is? And regardless of whether or not you think that their way of doing it is whatever, how you would do things, can you connect to how dire the situation is? Because until... I mean, I think that's, like, the hard part. It's, like, it's so dire, and couple that with a system where people feel absolutely powerless, and then you look at, like, well, our insistence on growth and, like, capitalist goals in terms of making these industries function is only making it worse. It just feels like this absurd situation, and yeah. it's really fucked up, and I think that's why so many people want to turn away, because it's like, dude, I know it's bad. What the fuck can I do? I'm sorry that the super glue isn't. Should he use Gorilla Glue, huh? Right. fuck. Yeah.
And I think it is important for people who are messaging about this to make it clear that it's not actually too late to vastly improve
no.
quality of life down the road. Like, we're it's not like no matter what we do now, it doesn't matter. We're all doomed. That is not the case. That's what's so frustrating is
yeah.
that we can do things now. Like, obviously, if we really want to avert major disasters, we'd have to take very drastic change that I myself am pretty pessimistic we would be able to do. But it's a sliding scale. So, like, the more stuff we do, the more we rein in emissions, the better things are going to be. Yes, like, we're probably not, like, it's too late to prevent anything from happening. Like, there's going to be bad stuff that happens. But it's, like, the difference between, hey, some, like, terrible disasters and then just Earth being completely fucked. And yeah. it's like, yeah, it's still worth fighting for a livable Earth for people to have, like, a decent quality of life in the future. It frustrates me when people are just like, kind of like, well, you know, we're doomed anyway. So whatever, we might as well, you know, make fun of the yeah. soup girls.
Right.
It's just, I don't know. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, it's like we're bickering over a board game in a burning house.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? And we're like, well, that's not yeah. fair. You passed Go and you weren't supposed to collect $200. It's like, the house that we're even playing this dumb shit in is on fire. So yeah. none of this actually matters because there won't even be a venue for the stupidity come yeah. 100 years, come 200 years. So, and I think back to that quote from Inger Andersen, which was, again, saying that only a root and branch transformation of our economies and societies can save us.
Right.
And we've seen how much, you know, our our way of doing business and our concept of economy is completely poisonous. And yeah. That's what makes it really hard is like, well, the people that are in leadership at the heights of our economies and societies are invested in this completely backwards, disastrous way of running an economy or society. So, I mean, again, obviously, that's why the next thing is really about, well, then it's really about mass protest and yeah. other ways of, you know, collective action that I don't know how else it's going to resonate, because you still have people running campaigns where they're truly saying stuff like it's not happening. It's just it's all blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't like the actions of climate activists, go out and do something better. Like, yeah. if you're like, soup on a Van Gogh, that's not going to do anything good for the cause.
Then what will, asshole?
Yeah. Like, right. What will? What will get media attention? Like, we're still talking about the soup girls.
I think,
like,
yeah.
other climate, like polite protests do not get attention. So, like, what are you going to do to get media attention? And I'm actually, like, genuinely, like, I'm not saying this is like a sort of smarmy gotcha thing. Like, if you don't like the kind of protests you're seeing, like, join a movement and try to actually put your ideas out there for what you think would be a good protest. And, like, you know, I mean, it's yeah. hard. It's just very hard.
Yeah. I just think that there is a, like, we're all looking at each other and being like, fucking do something. You do something. Yeah. I'm not going to do something. And like the person who's turning up the temperature is actually not in the room. It's a billionaire who's going to like own mountaintop property or like already bought a fucking island off of New Zealand and like got LASIK eye surgery to make sure that he's ready for the end time. You know, like it's
yeah.
I'm not a billionaire, Zach. Come on now.
Well, but you do have all that.
I got that LASIK, though.
You did buy all those islands off New Zealand. No, it's that was a big trend, though. That
right.
Like yeah. there was the billionaire, tech billionaire survivalist movement was like a big mm-hmm. thing people were talking about a few years back. And it's so like that's who needs to change things. And like, yeah, I mean, we have to figure out something to do, but we also have to recognize that the people who are causing this problem are not us. That it is a small group of people right. who need to be reached
in
some
like,
way.
Yeah, and really, I mean, shit, man. Every day I'm getting closer and closer to like not eating meat. Like right. It's just so wild. I'm like, man, I fucking love beef. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fucking America, I love red meat. I love burgers and shit. But when you look at how much money's been invested too from like that industry to be like, hey, I'm glad they don't even think of our industry as being part of this conversation.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, fuck this too. Fuck all these things. And if that's what it takes, it is what it is. But I don't know, like to your point, it's a bad situation. And you can see how people immediately, rather than being like, damn, they're doing all this stuff because it's really that bad. It's just someone being like, please don't remind me of how fucked up it is already. Please.
Right. Yeah.
And that's really that's the place where so many people are operating from, when really we need to be like, it's fucked up, but guess what? It's not too late and shit can still be done. So don't get all fucking doomed out about it, because if that's the case, you're fully just going to you're going to welcome it with open arms at that point. But at least give yourself take the breath and say, there is something that can be done. And when I hear about climate change, your first thing shouldn't just be to shut down. It's to, unfortunately, have to be like, this is something we aren't talking about enough. And our fucking leaders are completely incentivized to not, in a lot of instances.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's take a quick break, because I want to Google whether Inger Anderson has ever flown in a private jet, so that I can feel better about her telling us we're fucked. But we'll be right back to talk slap fighting, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And, you know, the story we were just talking about, as we've been discussing for a while now, like that, this is not an environment to exist in that promotes mental health, like just
right.
Civilization wide. And I think we're seeing a new, stronger than ever satanic panic. We're also seeing the growth of like combat sports, and to the point that they're like inventing new combat sports. There was that clip of the woman in the bare knuckle boxing, like post-fight video, which just looks just, you know, it's brutal. It's one of the most injured human beings I've ever witnessed. Like
speak normally
speaking.
Yeah.
And she's giving a cheerful answer about what a great opportunity this was. And you know, I feel like that goes in the Hall of Fame with the Jimmy Fallon, Paris Hilton, Bored Ape video of like the Hall of Fame of Western civilizational collapse. But sort of before that video, I didn't know that bare knuckle boxing was a thing outside of like the 1800s.
Or like, yeah, Irish beef or like travelers, like
right.
Traveler beef. I saw a whole documentary about that shit in like Ireland and the UK of just like, you know, the tradition of bare knuckle fighting, and it always ends up looking fucked up.
Yeah, it's a brutal, brutal sport or yeah. Like thing that people used to do that we had left behind, but we're seeing this sort of devolution civilizationally and going back to these things. And back in March, you may have heard about how Arnold Schwarzenegger and Logan Paul had teamed up to create slap fighting championship. I know, it's like that sentence, one of the worst series of words ever strung together in a sentence. But yeah, so UFC president Dana White has his own power slap league. that he's developing after the Nevada Athletic Commission voted to allow the sport, presumably because it's cheaper than starting a set each other's crotches on fire with a Bic lighter league.
I mean, that sounds cool, though, actually.
Yeah. Right.
Well, depending on what kind of pants you're wearing, there might be like some good, I don't know.
Yeah, if you're wearing synthetic material, lights out. Don't do that. Please wear cotton.
They've touted the various safety measures the league has gone to. Again, the league, which exists purely in the service of showcasing two people taking turns slapping each other as hard as they can. You're not allowed to like protect yourself.
Yeah. If you've never seen this shit, just so like, you're like, wait, what's slap fighting? Are they like in a boxing ring and like they're slapping? No, what they do is like, they pull up to like a fucking arm wrestling type table where like you brace yourself with one hand and then you just have to fucking eat a slap. Some are stood, some are seated or like at a table, and it's just people just coming around on each other, just slapping the fuck out of each other.
Yeah. You have to stand completely still while you're slapped. It's horrifying.
Wait, hold on. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger has something to say after witnessing a major slap. So we just saw some dude slap the shit out of another
Poland
guy.
Poland versus Slovakia. All right, Governor. As a weightlifter, does he have an advantage being a power lifter and slap fighting, do you think?
Listen to the music. These two guys
No, I think it's all about the, you know, your skills, specific skills. I think you that think? Everyone has the equal chance. It's just, you know, who's the toughest? Who can take it, right?
Okay, so that's a skill, Arnold? Mm-hmm. It's all about your specific skill. Who is tougher? Who can take it? Who has more brain damage that they can, you know, just rationalize away?
Yeah.
So
Dana White's whole thing is like boxing matches. You got guys getting hit 300, 400 punches. So what's the big deal with a little slapping, you know?
I see that logic from a very childish
and
view.
People are like, oh, shit, I didn't realize he was a doctor. And he was like, oh, I'm actually not a doctor. And they were like, oh, well, maybe we should just like check with a doctor real quick.
Okay.
And all right. Doctors were like, this is really, really a bad idea. In my professional opinion, those who partake in this quote sport will also suffer the stigmata of chronic neurological injuries. Open-handed slaps delivered with such force to the opponent's face frequently cause the person's legs to buckle, at times suffer momentary, sometimes longer, loss of consciousness, and collapse to the floor.
Oh, okay.
And this sport was happening in Poland, and a slap fighter died during a match.
Jesus.
So,
what? Do you know what he died? Like, what was the cause of death? Like, was it like
he was knocked out several times during a fight, then taken to the hospital, put in a medically induced coma, died of irreversible damages to the central nervous system a month later.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. Probably, like, brain swelling. Yeah, like, because when you're, there's, like, this thing, I'm not a big physics person, but I think, like, conservation of momentum. So, like, when your face gets hit and, like, you move around, I think your brain kind of moves at a different rate as your skull.
Right.
And so kabonk into that. And then it's bad. Because like when your brain swells, there's not anywhere for it to go because it's inside of your skull. So then stuff starts to get kind of squeezed around. And that's bad. And then it bleeds. And you can die.
But what's that's 300 or 400 punches. What's a little direct slaps to your temple
right,
that repeatedly knock you out? I mean, like, even in a boxing match, like, if you're knocked out, like, the ref's like, all right, bro, I didn't believe you after that 10 count. By the way,
boxing is not good. Neither is UFC fighting. Right. Not good for you.
No.
But
something called CTE.
Yes. This just feels especially barbaric, especially, like, you are just serving yourself up. Like, the idea that you're not allowed to defend yourselves means that, like, the sort of brain trauma that it is the goal of good boxing, you know, instruction and talent and skill to avoid, like, is inevitable. It's like they get three whacks at you, and, you know, organizers of the event where the person died were just like, yeah, that's included in the risk associated with this sport discipline.
Oh, thanks, Ivan Drago, for
that. Right, yeah. Well, thanks, Ivan Drago's lawyer.
Yeah.
like my what my client means to say when he says if he dies, he dies is...
precisely that. If he dies, he dies. Okay, right. Can we move on? That was a pretty cool slap, though,
wasn't
it? He
actually thinks he's a fabric maker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting. Like, the conspiracy theorist in my mind is saying, like, oh, this is, like, to get the masses, like, accustomed to suffering. It's to get a suffering mindset of, like, I should accept the punches. I should accept the slapping. I don't actually believe that, but it's very disturbing to me, this idea of, like, that it is admirable to receive pain and take it. It's messed up. It's like,
yeah, I know
women also participate in this, but it is a form of toxic masculinity where it's like, sure. Like, oh, you should just receive physical pain and be cool with it.
Yeah.
Right.
The coolest person in this room is the one that can endure the most physical abuse.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest guy here.
Yeah, actually, I've seen this too. I mean, this is slightly a tangent, but I've seen this too with like childbirth, where there's this whole thing of like, of women being proud of like doing it without any painkiller. It's like,
yeah.
The pain makes it a real pregnancy. It's like, dude, no, what?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
right.
No, like get that shit in my spine as fast as possible.
Green and bear it, man. Ugh.
Yeah, it's brutal. And I think it's something that, like, even if there is that high level conspiracy, people are looking for, because of, you know, just the dark, fucked up place that we are and are headed, where there's like violence being done to us, but it is like violence that is silent, and like you can't really see the violence necessarily, right. Or it's like hidden. And so like someone coming out and doing the violence in the most like straightforward, like, okay, here comes the big punch that is going to, you know, possibly kill this person. Everybody watch. Like, we're going to, you know, make an event of it and, you know, let the person just line it up.
Well, yeah. I mean, so much of our entertainment is about watching others suffer. Like, I even find this, like, even when I watch, like, my shitty reality TV. Like, it's to right. be like, wow, these people are completely out of control with their lives or their emotions. Yeah. Like, and it's a mess.
I mean, Dahmer is the number one piece of entertainment of, like, right. the past 5-6 months. It's, you know, our JM submitted a story about how it's like one of the big Halloween costumes this year is Dahmer, like they're on Etsy, like so most of the you know official stores are like, well, that's not good, and the victim's family.
Spirit Halloween sexy yeah. Dahmer isn't quite a thing,
but right. people are selling costumes on Etsy that are like, you know, blonde wig, jumpsuit. And then they're also selling the Dahmer glasses on eBay. So it's like, that's, I think, like when that trailer first came out, I was like, oh my God, like how could they possibly think that people would want to watch
this? It's to distract us from our own suffering.
Right.
You know?
To watch other suffering.
It's
so
just,
yeah.
You can rationalize what you're going through and be like, well, it's not, at least I'm not getting murdered by this guy, or at least I'm not in this situation, or at least I'm not getting slapped to shit. But that motherfucker is, oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I hear a lot about like true crime, is people will listen to it or watch it like when they're trying to sleep or relax. And I mean, I've even done that where I'll be like watching some kind of like crime documentary, and it's like, man, I feel really relaxed watching this. Why? Like, it's a terrible thing. Yeah. And I think it is because it is shutting off your own anxieties and stress, because you're like, well, at least I'm not being murdered right now.
It ain't me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cannibalism is also, I think, a metaphor that really appeals to the American mind, because we are essentially like cannibalizing each other. And that, like, that's kind of what America is like feeding on, and it's, especially in the case of Dahmer, feeding on like people who are unprotected. From like by society, and just like, no, people complain, people reach out to the authorities and say there's something fucked up happening here, and nothing happens. So I mean, I can see at a metaphorical level like how this I don't think that's how people are watching it. I don't think they're like, this is a metaphor.
This is why I'm actually watching it. It's right. Due to my own sense of powerlessness, right?
I think there is something that probably rhymes with some of the dark shit that's happening in people's unconscious mind, you know? And then we're just like, God, I have anxiety. Why do I feel...
Why am I so freaked out? What do you do all day? Well, I read like really weird crime reports from the local news. Then I watch true crime. And then I'm unable to look at another human being without having it caught up with all this other media I've ingested. So I'm kind of like in a constant fear cycle.
And even if you're not doing that, you still have the reality to tangle with that we are in a world where that there is a gun pointed at us and people could do something to stop it. And they're just not, because rich people have too much money at stake.
Having a tangible monster is a lot. Like, I'm not saying it's good. Obviously, it's not. But having a tangible monster is at least easier to conceptualize than something that is far more sort of like dispersed. You know, like the monster is the fact that, you know, wealth inequality, capitalism, consumerism, those things, like, I don't know, like, it's hard to conceptualize that as a threat to you. Whereas it's like, you know, scary guy with a knife. It's like, I know what this is. I can conceive of that. Like,
yeah,
it's a relief.
And on the subject of problematic Halloween costumes, Jam also wrote about the sexy nurse costume, which is just something that I had sort of taken for granted. Since, you know, that's been a thing for as long as my brain was, you know, storing memories. Obviously, like, the sexy costume trend has expanded to the point that now there are multiple retailers selling a sexy Hamburglar costume for some reason.
I mean, that just makes sense.
Right. I think we've all always wanted to.
Steals burgers and my heart.
Yeah, but the sexy nurse has like been sort of a linchpin of this movement, and it's been going on for a long, long time. Like, it goes back to, I guess, that used to be a thing that was associated between like when the police would arrest somebody, like a sex worker, one of the options they would have available to them was to either like go to jail or nursing. And people have just like associated the nurse with like sexualizing, you know, dehumanizing ideals. And so Quebec's Professional Order of Nurses launched a campaign to fight back against this. And, you know, they pointed out that nurses are constantly being like, this contributes to the sexualizing of nurses, and nurses actually are like sexually harassed at a shockingly high level. Between 60% and 87% of nurses experience sexual harassment at work, according to a 2006 literature review. And a 2018 poll found that out of 569 nurses, 71% had been harassed by a patient.
Yeah.
I mean, I have friends in nursing, and like, it was so normal of like dealing with like, if you're like a woman and a nurse and like some infirmed, creepy dude, I've definitely heard how like normal it is, and also how sort of used to it they are too.
Yeah.
Where they're like, and I'm like, well, what do you do? And they're like, we're just, half the time somebody might be super fucked up or like be on like meds or something, so they're subdued, and it's just more like, yeah, okay, yeah, like, right. sure. And other times, like, it's like, sure, it does get bad where they're like, I have to, like, now I need security involved here because this person is fully trying to like assault me. Yeah. And it sounds just awful, but also just like really weird in the sense of sort of being like, yeah, it happens, is like sort of the shorthand.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting too, because I think nursing is seen so much as like a feminine profession, because it has to do with taking care of someone, and therefore it's also kind of like devalued in a way where it's like, oh, this is, you know, this is essentially like women's work where you take care of someone rather than the sort of highly technical field that it is, that saves lives. And also the fact that it is not inherently a gendered profession, but we kind of have that, like, we put that on it, right? Where it's like, oh, well, you know, it's someone taking care of someone. And so that's like that's a feminine job. That's a, you know, sort of a woman's job. And so anything that has that, I think, will be like, you know, I mean, that may be what, you know, I think like men sometimes get made fun of for being nurses. It's like, what? This is a serious profession. Like what?
Right.
It's like, you know,
you're a medical professional.
Yeah, it's a serious medical profession. And it's like, I think that must have a lot to do with it as well, where whenever we have a field where it's associated with women or femininity, it is like we either see it as frivolous and silly or we sexualize it or right. both.
Right. Especially this is a time like when the male patient is feeling vulnerable, right? If they're in medical care, or, you know, their health is in question. So this becomes a way for like male patients to cope with feelings of helplessness and self-consciousness of their masculinity being threatened. And
right. Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's
a perfect storm.
Yeah. It's a perfect storm, but like it would be great if we could stop contributing to it by making like every Halloween having like sexy nurse be one of the top Halloween costumes.
That's why yeah. you're going to sexy Green Goblin this year, right?
I am going to sexy Green Goblin, but that was I couldn't help it. I put on the costume and
it just became sexy. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what they said. You know? They said, "Whoa, are you sexy Green Goblin?" You're like, the bag just says regular Green Goblin.
It's just costume. Green yeah. Goblin. I can't like, help it.
Sure, those thighs.
The good news is, so in light of the pandemic, costume retailer Yandy reportedly considered yanking the sexy nurse costumes, but in the end decided to sell them anyway. But because of COVID, they put them in the superhero category of their website, thus fixing everything. God. So I think
We've done it.
We've kind of buried the lead. So they did solve this mm-hmm. problem.
Oh, no. We'll take it out of the sexy category. It's a superhero category now. Mm-hmm. Fuckable mommy in medical outfit. Like, what?
Ooh. Well, Katie, such a pleasure having you, as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so like you said earlier, I have my very own podcast called Creature Feature. Yeah. I talk about aminals and just like the kind of mind-blowing behaviors that they have that can be creepy, weird, scary, cute, or very oddly human-like. You can find me on Twitter at Katie Golden. That's KATIEGOLDIN. My ancestors spelled it wrong. and Pro Bird Rights is a bird on Twitter, mentioning that for no reason.
Have you gotten swept up in the like birds aren't real movement?
What a tiresome little petty movement they are. Yeah, I haven't really like felt like I need to even dignify them with a response because it's so clearly false. Like they think I'm taking government money to like send out bird drones. That's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that you have those talking points and we're ready to deliver.
I mean, half of the kids at that one rally, I'm like, these kids are just fucking stupid and they just like that they're at the stupid fest.
Right.
You're like, yeah, let's turn up for this saying. Turn up. Birds aren't real. And I'm like, y'all don't.
I think it definitely started as like a work of satire that has turned into something much stupider.
Oh, do people actually I didn't think anyone actually believed it. I thought it was just like a joke.
I think
with any wacky net you throw out, you're gonna catch some freaks on the way who people are like, you know what, I was just saying this, thank you. And they're like, that one dude Terry that comes saying. To that one dude Terry that's at all this stuff, I think he actually believes it.
I thought, is that like how QAnon started, kind of like most people thought it was sort of a joke and then it turned into a real thing, or am I wrong about that?
Right.
I think it's how a lot of things start. I think it's how, like, Scientology started as like a bet between L. Ron Hubbard and like a friend to see how many people he could trick. And then was like, actually, this turns out to be real.
Highly profitable.
Said, yeah. Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
It is a tweet by Talbart. Of Jordan Peterson's extremely real words.
Here we go.
I live inside this cube, suspended about 2 feet off the ground.
There's no escaping it. I'm not in the room. I shifted to the Harry Potter dimension. I'm playing Quidditch with Michelangelo on the Starship Enterprise, and I'm whipping out my little balls to get sucked off by your mother. I've had sex with your mother 50 times. All of those 50 times your mother topped, and I was the bottom. You're shaking. You're sitting here doing nothing in pure stupidity. And while you're doing so, I'm going to go jerk off in the library.
Talbart. Well done, Talbart.
Way to go, Talbart.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Holy shit. I love when people chop up their fucking word, people's words like that. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Check Jack and I out on the number one rated basketball podcast. Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Do not check the rated charts to see, to verify that. Just trust. Don't
most
verify.
Informative, most not stupid, all of the above.
100%. Oh, and also check me out on 420 Day Fiancé, obviously, with Sophia Alexander. Oh, man, there's a lot of good tweets. First one, we were talking about like walkability and bikeability. Ronnie Chen at Ron D-O-F-T-W tweeted, day three with an e-bike, and I have to come to the conclusion that all the annoying evangelical e-bike enthusiasts weren't promoting them hard enough. And I'm telling you that it's pure fun. If you have a chance, I know like in Denver they have a really interesting pilot program out there where like they're incentivizing, like they're giving rebates for people to buy electric bikes. Look into that. Another one I like is from Big Spooky Tim at Big Money Tim tweeted, wish haunted houses had like a chicken night where you could walk through, but nothing would jump scare you. All the monsters would be there and they just say hi and explain their little room's lore. I definitely like that. And then last one, Shirts That Go Hard tweeted, this guy has, I don't know if, he has a t-shirt with the THX logo on it, and it says, I make the THX sound when I come. And also, you know what, fuck it. Just for the people in the back that are younger and might not have understood what the THX sound is, at the beginning of films, you knew you were watching something that was in THX because this shit would come up and let you know. And then this is what it would sound like when you're in the theater being like, oh, it's THX. Okay, there's a fucking pre-roll.
I was like, that's not it.
Right. It's just that Hudmo song. Okay, hold on. And here we go. The THX sound for the youth. I'm just thinking, this is the sound I made. Whoa. Whoa! Take me back.
You're like leaning back in your seat, just like, oh, man.
I also liked the Big Spoopy Tim tweet and Pope Awesome the 13th tweeted, first day as vampire hunter. This is easy. Lol. First night as vampire hunter. Oh, no. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Okay, you're going to enjoy this track. This is a band called The Putbacks, and I don't know where they're from, but they have they're like a rhythm section. There's like a drummer, a bass player, a guitar, keyboard player, and they've backed some really fantastic band. They worked with Hiatus Coyote, and I was like, wait, hold on. Okay, so now people who are like doing backup stuff for them have their own band. This band is really fucking dope. This track is called Little Flower, and their whole style is like, because they're just such like tight like rhythm section musicians and stuff, their stuff sounds like it's like a mix between like the Meters and like David Axelrod's, like, you know, Blue Note stuff mixed with like bad, not good, or Krungbin, as they would describe. And I think that's a pretty good assessment or description of their music. So this is The Putbacks with Little Flower.
All right. Well, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.